Get you a good message on cremation. Isn't that a blessing? Then Wednesday night, come pray and bring somebody with you. And then I didn't mention also, Friday night, we are having a late night prayer meeting Friday night for everybody that can. 9 o'clock. Sometimes you go out to eat, whatever. But it's getting youth rally time. Brother Jason, I've been talking to some men. There's some folks from other churches coming. I think Miss Kathy and Kevin, some of them. Come out and pray. Is there anybody here that don't need that? That's what I thought. We need prayer. If you can, come out Friday night. You can stay as long as you want. We're going to have singing, some preaching, and pray for a while. You say, Lord, that's 9 o'clock at night. Yeah, you know, like you go to them 9 o'clock movies. You know what I'm talking about. If you can go movie at 9 o'clock, you can pray at 9 o'clock if you didn't work all day. So if you can, come on out. If you can't, don't worry about it. And we're going to pray Friday night. You can stay a little while and pray. Like, you know, you'd like the ball game that comes on at 9 o'clock. Like that. Okay? So remember that. Friday night, 9 o'clock. Amen.
That thing's really been building and in my heart, you know, and just wanting God to have all of me. And I tell you what, the Bible talks about, and I talked about this in Sunday school, about that church, that Sardis, that had left their first love. And, you know, so many people want to raise the bar for young people and have them do better and do right. And there's nothing wrong with that. But the only bar that needs to be raised is we need to just fall back in love with Jesus. He's all we need, amen. He's all we need. And if you fall in love with Him, everything else will work out. I promise you that. And that's what I want to do Friday night. I mean, I love Him, and just nothing to make you want to do right like loving Him. Amen. Y'all just come and just rekindle that relationship with the Lord. Something that Brother Danny can't do for you. No group can come in and do for you. But if you'll seek Him and get close to Him, it'll be worthwhile for Him. And that's what we're going to do Friday. Amen. He's all I need when I just need someone to talk to. He's always there to hear my prayer each time I call Him. On this friend I can rely to be my strength as life goes by. He's the Lord of all, and He's all I need. He comforts me when I'm weary, eases every pain, feels my deepest longing. Time and time again, He's my soul's inspiration, my heart's consolation. He's my everything, He's all. I dare not turn to any other, for He's a friend that's closer than a brother. On this friend I can rely to be my strength as life goes by. He's the Lord of all, He's all I need. He comforts me when I'm weary, eases every pain, fills my deepest longing. Time and time again, my soul's inspiration, my heart's consolation. He's my everything, He's all I need. He's my everything. He's all that I need.
Amen. Amen. That's truth this morning. When you get down and find out He's all you've got, then you realize He's all you need. And you won't realize that till He's all you've got. And one day that day's coming for all of us. All right. Now, everybody get settled down. Give me attention. Get your Bibles. Kids, we're going to be real still now. Everybody's going to listen. I've got a special message for somebody today. Different, a lot different from last Sunday morning. Take your Bible, open to Acts chapter 24. The book of Acts chapter 24. In the book of Acts chapter 24, we find the story of a great man in the world's eyes, a famous man by the name of Felix, the man, not the cat, Felix. And he looked at an old seasoned preacher, Paul, and made a statement. And I'm going to talk about that statement. And then I'm going to talk about something that everybody in this room has a problem with. Sometimes I preach on stuff and say, well, you ain't getting me today. There's not a person in here today who don't have this problem one degree or another. Now, some of you have it bad. Some of you have it pretty bad. Others of you got it okay. And some of you have learned to overcome it some, but we all have it. Verse chapter 24, verse number 25. Everybody look at this verse of Scripture here this morning. And somebody besides you don't have a Bible, share yours with them so they can read this. And pinch them. 25. And as he reasoned of righteousness, temperance, and judgment to come, Felix trembled. This politician, leader here, trembled. And answered, "Go thy way for this time. And when I have a convenient season, I will call for thee." See what he said? He said, "Look, preacher, I know you're right. I know everything you're saying is true. And I agree with you. But you just go for this today. And pretty soon, when it's a good day for me, I'll call you. I know I should. But I'm just not ready today." I'm preaching on that this morning. Not today. There's a word we have for people who are always saying, "Well, I know I need to do this, but not today." And that word is what? Procrastination. Procrastination. And that means putting off till tomorrow what you ought to do today. That's what I'll talk about this morning. You have people who do this bad, don't buy their Christmas presents till day or so before Christmas, don't go to the dentist till they have just about be knocked out, don't register to vote until the day before and then sometimes wait too late, and they don't get their oil changed in the car when they're supposed to, and just keep putting it off because you don't want to do it. And you just keep putting it off and putting it off. Every time you talk to them, they're going to go on a diet tomorrow. They're going to start exercising. And then you see them 6 months later, "I've got to do that. I've got..." And they make themselves feel good by saying, "Well, I'm saying I got to do it." And then the next day, they say the same thing. Now, they say that procrastination is the thief of time. The best time to do something is between yesterday and today. You'll never get much... Listen to me. This is one of the most important things I'll say this morning. And if you don't get nothing else, you get this statement. You'll never get much done in life until you go ahead and do it before you're ready. Listen to me. You will never get much done. Anything. This applies to homework. This applies to work around the house. This applies to your job. This applies to your Christian life, your Bible reading, anything. You will never get much done until you go ahead and do it before you're ready. I've met people, every time I talk to them, well, I'm just not ready. I'm just not ready. I know I need to do it. You're right. But I'm just not ready. It's the man who brags about tomorrow probably did the same thing yesterday. Yesterday he was bragging about what he was going to do today. Today he's bragging about what he's going to do tomorrow. And somebody else said this: the lazier a person is, the more they're going to do tomorrow. And I'm convinced that much of our procrastination is that. It's laziness. We have got the laziest bunch of Christians and people that I believe this world's ever seen in our generation. And I mean lazy. And people just don't want to admit it. That's a terrible. I mean, who wants to admit they're lazy? Not many people want to admit they're lazy. Just think about that, lazy. That's an awful sounding word. You don't want to be that. But I'm looking at some people this morning that are lazy. And there's no other way. One man went to the doctor. He said, "Doc," and the doc said, He said, "Give it to me straight, Doc. I can take it." He said, "You lazy." And the man said, "Can you give me a little more medical term so I can tell my wife?" You know, nobody wants to admit you're just lazy and don't want to do nothing and make excuse to keep from doing it. What if what you put off today, you will probably put off till tomorrow, or off tomorrow. What you put off today, you will probably put off tomorrow. In other words, if I say this house needs cleaning up, that thing on that car needs fixing, I will probably say the same thing tomorrow, and the next day, 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 and the next day. I'm going to say a couple things about it. What about this? You that put off not today to make things right with somebody. You know, you have hard feelings. All of us sometimes have a, quote, run-in with people. And you know you need to make things right, but you put it off. You wait, you wait, you wait, and you wait, and you wait. About once every 6 months, I get a phone call, and it's from some preacher somewhere. Sometimes I don't even know him. And they'll call me up, and they'll say, "Brother Danny," and I'll say, "Yes, sir." And they'll say, "I just want you to forgive me." And I'll say, I don't know what you're talking about. They said, "I've said some bad things about you," or "I've said this," and "I've said," I said, "It's okay, don't worry about it. You're forgiven." But you know what? Man called me one time, and he'd said some things about me and done some stuff, and he got in trouble, and he was about ready to get locked up in prison. And he thought, "Lord, the Lord ain't going to hear me as long as I got hard feelings against the preacher." And he called me and asked me to forgive him because I was about ready to send him off. He said, "I want you to forgive me for what I've done to you back there, this, that, and other." And I thought, wonder why we like to put off getting right with somebody. Is there somebody in your family that you need to make it right with? It's so sad when I go to funerals and funeral homes and I see people sitting around and they'll say, "Now listen, there's the family member that we don't talk to, and she hasn't spoke to mama in a year, and there's mama's laying there in a casket." And I said, "This is awful, y'all. This is awful. Is there a family member that you need to get right with? Is there somebody in your family that you need to sit down and talk and say, 'Look, let's get this clear. We need to clear the air. We need to talk.'" You know what your problem is? You keep waiting on the right time, and the right time don't never come. The right time never comes. There's been over 600 books printed promising to deliver you from procrastinating. They studied it. Psychologists have studied it. And it's here's the bottom line. It's when we dread doing something, or we just don't want to do it, or we don't understand how it's going to work out, or we're scared, we just don't do it. You know you need to fix something, but you don't ever do it. You don't ever have the time. It's funny how that you never have the time to do that thing that you ought to do. I know people, they'll say, "Well, have you got that done?" "No, I ain't had time." "You got that done?" "No, I just ain't had time." "Well, have you got it done?" "I just ain't had time." But you let that cell phone tear up, and they will have time to go spend all morning at Verizon getting them a new one. It'll happen every time. Am I right? Say amen. Amen.
It seems like if it's something if it's something high on our priority list, if it's something that means a lot, if it's something to do with this flesh, I know people, I've been visiting, when you step on a step and you go up, the steps would fall in. And buddy, and a dead cat laying in the yard weeks at a time, because we go every Saturday, and there's a dead cat laying there, and they got a satellite dish and a flat screen TV and movies stacked that high. You know what that means? They can do what they want to do, and they can get what they want to get, but they just don't want to do what they ought to do. Am I coming in loud and clear? Say amen. Now, you that need to get things right, you that need to go to a family member, you that need to go make something right, you got offended or they got offended, and you need to do something, you know what you need to do? You need to make up your mind this morning, I am not waiting one more day. When I leave this church today, I'm going to make that phone call. If I can't do it today, I'll do it tomorrow. If I can't do it tomorrow, the first time I can get to their house, I'm going to go, I'm going to sit down, and I'm going to talk. Give it down, Brother Mike. I tell you this morning, ladies and gentlemen, you hear me this morning, there is thousands of people that need to apologize. D.L. Moody said one time, he was up preaching, and he got ready to preach, and when he was up getting ready to preach, he saw a man walk in the back of the church, and him and that man had words with each other, and he knew that that man had ought against him, and the man knew that he had ought against him. Now, you know what people do most of the time? Just sort of act like it's not there. Well, let's just sing and act like nothing's wrong, and we'll shake hands. Listen, you know why revival can't break out in most churches? Because people have hard feelings against each other. That's up. You let people go to apologizing and getting right and shaking hands and going to the altar together, you'll start seeing God move in a church. We ain't going to have the Lord moving our church like He wants to if we're sitting in here, we're mad about something, or we're upset at somebody else. Now, you can sit there and act spiritual, sing the songs, do whatever you want to, but it ain't going to happen till we're willing to get right with the Lord and with each other, ladies and gentlemen. Amen? I'm going to tell you this morning, old D.L. Moody told his song leader, Ira Sankey, he said, you keep singing. D.L. Moody, the great preacher, he wasn't too high and mighty. He wasn't too great, the great D.L. Moody. Walked down off of the platform, went back to the man, shook his hand, hugged his neck, and he said, I want to make things right. And then he went up there, and they said the Spirit of God fell on that place, and the Lord moved, and they had a great revival meeting. You know what? We can't have God move in our church like we ought to with people with hard feelings. Listen, if you got hard feelings against me, I'm sorry, and I'll make it right with you. I ain't got hard feelings against nobody in here. I hate somebody, but I know, I'm just kidding. No, I don't. I love everybody in here. I mean that. You get on my nerves, but I get on yours too, amen? That's right. We're all sinners saved by grace, and brother, we can't hold hard feelings against each other and be right where the Lord wants us to be. What about you that are waiting? You that are blind. Here's how I learned how to do this. You know how I learned how to do this? Over the years. Planning the youth rally, for me personally, is by far the hardest and most difficult task of the year. I have these preachers come in, we have camp meeting, and they'll say, boy, this camp meeting's a lot on you, ain't it, preacher? And I said, Lord, the camp meeting is a vacation. I've heard of people planning a wedding, and they say, oh, this wedding. Listen, planning a wedding ain't a drop in the bucket. You don't even have to preach at a wedding. All you do is just get up, stick up some flowers and act fancy and get it over with. But brother, listen, at the youth rally is a tremendous burden. And especially the way we do ours. Because I write the skits, I write the commercials, I do the special preaching, all of that kind of stuff. And it is a load, let me tell you. Right now, I got two notebooks at home, just stuff like that right there. Just notes and notes and notes and plans and plans and plans. And I remember used to, the way it happened 20 years ago, we'd set the date of the youth rally. And we'd say, the youth rally's coming. And I'd go home and I'd pray, Lord, bless the youth rally. And I'd say, what are we going to do? I said, I don't know. I just don't feel nothing yet. And then about a week later, I'd say, well, I'm just not ready to do that. I'm not ready to commit on that subject yet. And about a week later, I'd say, I'm not ready to commit. And I'm telling you, it would come down to them last 2 weeks, and I'd almost drove myself crazy. And I drove myself crazy because the youth rally was in 2 weeks and I hadn't done that. and I hadn't done this, and I hadn't done that, and I hadn't ordered them chairs, and I hadn't put those flyers out, and we hadn't got the food ready, and we hadn't got it, and I worked day and night like to kill myself. And I thought, what am I doing wrong? What am I doing wrong? I need more time. And the Lord said, you had all that. You had a year. The person who's always saying, I need more time, wasted the time God gave them and didn't try to cram it all in them last couple of days. You can't do it like that. It ain't, listen to me, it ain't going to be no easier to do what you ought to do tomorrow than it is next Monday. Lord, you're quiet on me this morning, y'all. The time changed Sunday, one excuse to the other, like he says. I'm going to tell you something, brother. Listen, it ain't, if I need to do something at my house, if I need to fix that sink leaking, or I need, it ain't going to be a bit easier the 1st of April than it was the 1st of March. Say amen right there. Some of y'all, I think some of you have a disease. You need, if I wasn't a Bible believer, I'd say you need to see a good psychologist. Because you do the same thing week after week after week after week after week, and you never do get out of that rut that you're in. I would, when I was in high school, by the way, I have learned now to go ahead and get youth rally stuff ready before I'm ready. I do it before I'm ready. I used to think, well, I'll pray and I'll pray and I'll pray and I'll pray, and the Holy Ghost will come on me and I'll be ready. And He didn't ever come on me. He probably did. I just didn't. I didn't know it. And He didn't ever come on me and reveal it from heaven. So now I try to make. You know what I do? I can take you right now and show you my calendar at home where I've got marked end of February, have commercials and major plans in mind. End of March, have signs ready, and I will make myself go. Because if I don't, it's all going to pile in on me that same week, in the last couple of weeks. Basically, people who procrastinate don't manage their time. They're always the ones saying they ain't got time. You got 24 hours a day, just like Jesus had when He was here. Everybody in the world has 24 hours in a day, and you can get done what God wants you to do if you'll do it before you're ready. You need to go make something right with somebody? Go ahead and do it tomorrow. You need to get something done. When I was in high school, I remember they'd give us a project, like a paper or some kind of something where you'd have to go get a bunch of bugs out in the yard and glue them on a piece of paper. That's the way we did it. Probably do it all on the internet now. They don't know what a real bug looks like. But we'd go out and collect bugs, and I'd have a science project, and I put out, well, it was due, let's say, on Wednesday the 12th. Due date! I'd fool around, and it was 1 week, and the teacher got to say, now next Wednesday, class, next Wednesday, all your projects are due. I remember plain as day, 10th grade, 11th grade, I'd fool around, oh, it ain't due till next Wednesday. And I thought, I want to watch something on TV. And as I told you, I used to get off the school bus, and we had a basketball go way down in our front yard. And we didn't have, it was roots and grass and dirt. It wasn't paved. And I'd lay my books down, not even go in the house, take my shirt off, and I'd have on a t-shirt and grab a ball and play basketball till it got dark. Not go in the house, not eat supper. And I done that lots of times. My neighbors would come over, we'd play, if there's enough of us, we'd play a game. If it wasn't, we'd play 21. And I'd say, I'll get that thing done. I got till next Wednesday. And all of a sudden, it would be Tuesday night. And my project wasn't done. I said, man, that teacher's going to kill me. I'm going to make a bad grade and won't get to play ball. And here I'd be out hunting lightning bugs, lizards or something. I'd say, there's got to be enough lightning bugs out here to stick on this piece of paper. And I'd be up, and I'd always say, well, teacher, I could have done better, but I didn't have time. Danny, you had as much time as everybody else. You just wasted it and then tried to cram it off. Are y'all getting what I'm saying this morning? Just quit letting this baloney if you don't have time. You may, as I said, you, that cell phone tear out and you watch how much time you got. That TV go out and watch and see if you don't have time to put into it. That air condition quit working. That car quit. You'll figure out some way to make it. I'll guarantee you that, brother. And listen, procrastination really is doing what you won't instead of doing what you ought to do. Are you listening? It's a poor management of time. It's doing what you won't instead of doing what you ought to do. You ought to prepare and prevent instead of repair and repent. That's a good little saying, ain't it? Remember that. You ought to prepare and prevent instead of repair and repent. This is true of anything. You ought to prepare and prevent instead of repair and repent. Well, what about this morning? What about witnessing to our loved ones? One of the best ways to know, the best ways to cope with being a procrastinator is set yourself a deadline and say, by the grace of God, I'm going to do it by that day right there. Make yourself. Your flesh will never want to go witness to your neighbor. Some of you got loved ones and you see them at Christmas. You see them at Easter. You see them at Thanksgiving. And you say, I need to witness them. I need to witness them. I'm thinking of a man in our family right now. Right now. I've wrote them cards. I've sort of witnessed to them in a certain way. But I've never really sat down one to one and said, look, let's deal with you. Let's talk about your soul. Never have. And I've been knowing I should do it for years and years. And buddy, when I study in this message, God said, are you ever going to do it, Danny? Are you ever going to do it? Are you just going to talk about it? Are you just going to pray for it? Are you going to do it? Are you going to go to their house? Are you going to sit down? Listen, there's going to be a reef on that door one of these days. You're going to get a phone call. They've been killed in an accident. You're going to get a phone call. They died with a heart attack. Are you going to do it? Or are you just going to talk about it? You're just going to pray forever and never do nothing? Brother, you've got to make up your mind. I am not going to let them die without going and talking to them about their soul. You say, I'm not ready. Do it before you're ready. You'll never do it. If you don't do it, you're going to get a phone call and say they've died. You say, preacher, you're pushing it. That's right. Don't you need it? I'll build a fire under you. R.A. Torrey, the great soul winner, R.A. Torrey, was in a restaurant. And he said, he was sitting there eating. And the waiter come to him. And he said the Spirit of God spoke to him and said, you ought to witness that man. He said, he's busy. You know, you feel like, man, the man's working. I can't bother him at work. You know, I hope you went through that. I have many, many times. He said, now this is not the right time. And he said, man, come up, fill up his tea glass, come back. He said, the Spirit of God said, you need to talk to that guy about his soul. And he said, Lord, he's working. I'll come back this evening when he gets off work. And he paid the bill and left. And he said, all evening he had that man on his heart. And he said he came back that evening about 5 o'clock when the man was supposed to get off work. And he said, can y'all tell me where the waiter is that was waiting on the table today? And they said, sir, you hurt? Are you from the police department? Are you from the hospital? He said, no, I'm a preacher. I want to talk to him. And they said about 1 or 2 o'clock today, that man went in the restroom and took a gun and blew his brains out. Said he's having trouble and all that. And R.A. Torrey said, no. He said, he's in hell. He's burning in hell. And I was supposed to talk to him. And I did. That's what's going to happen to some of us if we don't go talk to our loved ones. That sister, that brother. That next door neighbor that you see the kids out in the yard playing all the time. You say, well, preacher, I just haven't had time. You had time. You just ain't using your time. You just might as well admit it. Now, here's what the world says you have. They say you have a psychological disorder. And they actually treat people like you. And you have a disease. I say you're lazy and know how to manage your time. That's what I say. They say you have a psychological disorder. I say you backslid. I think the Bible's right and they're wrong. I think you're just so used to pleasing your flesh, you don't want to do anything your flesh don't want to. That's what I think. Because the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit lusteth against the flesh, so that you cannot do the things that you would. This flesh don't ever want to do nothing hard or uncomfortable. Or we put it off and put it off thinking it's going to get easier, and it don't never get no easier. Almost everybody who procrastinate are people who admit, or the ones that get the victory are the ones that admit they have a problem. If you're sitting here this morning and you won't admit you got a problem, you ain't no help for you. Actually, there's seven steps you can take, and I'm going to give you these, and then I'm going to talk about something else. Number one, stop thinking about it and start doing something about it. Number two, don't blow the task out of proportion. The more you think about it, the bigger it gets. How many have ever dreaded going to talk to somebody? And you knew you had to go make things right with somebody. You knew you had to talk to them. And the more you thought about it, the dreader you got. More dreaded. You were dreadest by the time you did it. Lord, you was in awful shape. And the more you think about that thing, the bigger it gets. And after you finally go and sit down and say, let's talk, after you feel so relieved, you think, well, it wasn't as bad as I thought it was going to be. Hadn't you noticed that? The more you put it off, the bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger. Bigger. You think, Lord, maybe it'll be easier tomorrow. No, it'll be bigger tomorrow. And next week it'll be that big. And next week it'll be that big. And next week it'll be bigger. Listen, brother, I'm telling you, listen, you got to do it before you're ready. Number three, take the first step. If your house is so nasty nobody can't walk in it, pick up something and put it in its place. There's your start right there. And all God's people said, Lord, I've been in people's house, had to step over stuff, and dishes in the sink, and the ones that, Lord, I ain't had time to wash these dishes today. Today my foot. Are you going to get that nasty in one day? Hey, stuff on there looks like, I mean, you'd have to get a jackhammer to get that gravy off some of them plates as hard as a brick. Ain't today. A month, maybe. Whenever they want something to eat, they'll go get one of them nasty plates and wipe it off and then put something to eat on it. Number four, start with the hardest task. If you'll do the hardest things first, the easy things take care of themselves. I've learned that from youth rally. If I do the hard things, get them done, then the easy things. We say, oh, man, I dread that. Let's do this. Man, I dread that. Let's do this. Man, I dread that. Let's do this. Go ahead and do that. Get that done, and then everything else just goes like that. I've been studying this. I've been studying on what makes people put stuff off. You have a psychological disorder. If you're out there in the world, you backslid if you're coming to church. Number five, make a decision. Any decision. Just make one. Make a decision, brother. I know people, every time I see them, they still, well, I don't know what I'm going to do. Well, do something. You say, well, I'm afraid I'll make a mistake. You're making one by not doing nothing. If you make the wrong one, you can back up and get it right and do the right one. Do something, for heaven's sake. Number six, face your fear. Go ahead and do what you're scared of. You say, I dread that so bad. I got this one member of my family and they don't believe in hell and I dread talking to them so bad I can't stand it. And I've been last year at the camp meeting, I told the Lord I was going to go do it and I ain't done it yet. And year before that, Lord, I got a burden for them and I've lost it. I'm going to do it this week. It ain't going to be no easier. Will it be easier if you wait until next week? Will it be easier if you wait till youth rally? No. Will it be easier if you wait till camp meeting? No. It'll never be no easier. You're still sitting there saying, well, I don't know about this week. There's your problem. That's your problem right there. When your clock goes off in the morning,
do you get up before you're ready? Most of you. Now, some of you just lay there till you want to get up. And that's another part of your problem. If you're not on a schedule, you have a tendency to be lazy. You just lay there until you want to get up. But if you've got a job where you've got to be there at a certain time, the clock don't go out and say, well, I'm going to wait till I'm ready to get up. You'll get fired. So you go ahead and get up and get ready and go to work, even if you ain't ready. You say, I don't feel led. You got to go and go do it anyway. I ain't never felt led to get up at 5:30 in the morning and and go work. You don't feel led. God's man says, son, take out the trash. I don't feel led, Daddy. And it's hypocritical to do it if you're not led. Well, you'll find out if it's hypocritical or not. You'll feel led the time he gets through with you. Now, when God says for us to do something, he's not saying wait till you feel led. You say, well, I need to talk to my brother. I need to witness to my sister. I need my daddy. I need to talk to him, but I'm just waiting until I feel led. The devil has deceived you with a deceiving spirit, and you'll say that till they're dead. I'm warning you, you'll say that till they're dead. You'll never feel ready. I'll say this, and I'm through on being saved. You're here this morning, you're not saved? Listen, don't put it off. Don't say not today. Young people, you say, well, Brother Danny, I want to get saved. I know you. I should get saved, but not today. If you don't get saved today, you may never get saved. Preacher come up one time, he's outside preaching, and he's saying, the Bible says, heaven, hell. And a skeptic walked up, and he said, talking about heaven, how far is it to heaven, preacher? Making a joke. And the preacher looked back and said, one step. Will you take it? One step. You know how far you are from heaven this morning? One step. If you'll take one step out of that seat this morning and come down here to this altar, I will save you. One step. One step. You're taking a chance no gambler in Las Vegas would ever take. You go out of here this morning and you're not saved, you're taking a chance nobody in Las Vegas would take. Listen. If I had to walk out that door and say, I'm going to wait till next Sunday to get saved. I'm not going to get saved today. I know if I die, I'm going to burn in hell forever and ever and ever and ever and ever. There ain't enough money in North Carolina to make me walk out that door till next. If you took all the money in North Carolina and said, walk out that door lost and come back next Sunday and get saved, I'd say, forget it. You know why? I'm not going to take a chance. I might die this week. I might get killed in a car wreck. Jesus might come. I'm not waiting until next Sunday. Don't wait. Don't wait. You know what Felix said? Not today. Not today. Not today. Not today. As far as we know, he never got saved. We never hear of him again. He's in hell right now as far as we know. You know why? He did not repent when he had a chance. He said, not today. He said, when I have a convenient season, I'll call for it. And it never did come. There's some people in here this morning need to make up your mind. Whatever it is you've been putting off, you're just going to go ahead and do it. I'm preaching myself under conviction. There's some things I need to do. And the only reason I ain't done them is because my flesh don't want to. You got to admit that. I got a family member I need to go see. Witness to them. I got some other stuff at my house need to be done that I just didn't want to do. Putting off being saved is like a credit card. It's a lot of fun till you get that bill. Saying it's too early makes it too late. Many who plan to repent at the 11th hour die at 10:30. They said many, many years ago in Princeton, New Jersey, there's a great revival going on. And Aaron Burr, you've heard, Aaron Burr went to that revival and got under conviction. And when he got under conviction, he went to the president of Princeton University. And what he did, he went to that president, y'all pray. And then when he went to the president of the Princeton University, he told him, he said,
I'm thinking, here's the way he put it. He said, I'm thinking about laying hold of the claims of Christ. In other words, I'm going to give my life to the Lord. And the president of Princeton University said, let's wait till all this emotionalism dies out, and after the revival's over, then you'll be in a much better state of mind. Right now, everybody's getting saved, and everybody's, you know, it's all a lot of emotion. Let's let it all. And he said, that's good advice. I'll wait. And they said that revival ended, and as far as anybody knew, Aaron Burr never, ever had a desire to be saved again and died without God and went to hell. And if you feel the least little bit of conviction here this morning, like you need to come and get right with God, the absolute biggest mistake you could possibly make would be say not today.
Amen.
Because you might never feel that again. I'm telling you. People in hell this morning that sat in church last Sunday morning and said, I'm not going to get saved today. I'm going to wait till another time. And they never did make it. Now today's your chance. Let's stand by our heads for prayer.